Hello and welcome to another episode of Capital Calculus. I am your host Anil Padmanabhan. When it comes to the production of wheat, the two states that come to our mind are inevitably Punjab and Haryana. No longer, there's a new challenger on the block, and it is Madhya Pradesh. Did you know that Madhya Pradesh is the second largest producer of food grains in the country? Did you know that production of wheat in the state has nearly doubled in the last 7 years? And here is a fact that should surprise you. MP edged out Haryana to emerge second behind Punjab in wheat procurement. In fact, this is nothing but an agricultural revolution that we are witnessing, akin to what we saw with the Green Revolution in the 1960s. And what is the mantra? Provide the basics: irrigation water, steady power supply, and all-weather rural roads connectivity. And the outcome, as I just listed before you, has been dramatic. The state has recorded the fastest and most sustained growth trajectory that the country has ever seen in agriculture. In fact, it is emerging as India's food bowl. Ashok Gulati, the last word on Indian agriculture, draws a connect between this turnaround in agriculture and BJP's outstanding electoral showing. To unpack the country's best-kept secret, I turn to Ashok Gulati. He's an agricultural economist and the former chairman of the Commission for Agricultural Costs and Prices, the go-to person for all things Indian agriculture.
I began by asking Dr. Gulati to detail the makeover of the agrarian economy, this agricultural revolution, as it were.
You know, Madhya Pradesh is one of the larger states where the gross crop area as a percentage to the total geographical area is very high. And therefore, it has a great potential. But what had happened was it did not have much of irrigation compared to the All India average, which was about 48% or so. Madhya Pradesh irrigation used to be just 20-22%. So when Mr. Shivraj Singh Chauhan took over in 2005, I think the first focus was how to give irrigation to the state's agriculture. Because you know it well that in agriculture, water is music of prosperity, you know. So if you get irrigation, the fertilizer consumption goes up, productivity goes up, and then the cropping intensity in the same land, you can sow two times or even three times, depending upon the cropping pattern. So that's what happened. And there were two parts of the irrigation. One was the canal irrigation, which was the public sector investment. But then there was groundwater irrigation, which required a regular supply of power. And in my article, I have mentioned how the power consumption in the state went up four times. There is no other state where the power consumption as a percentage of total power in the state has gone up. So, you know, it went up to almost 40%. And that led to a massive change. Cropping intensity, that is the same area being cultivated more than once. The productivity increased. It also led to a diversification pattern. Although in the Rabi season, because of some incentives given on the wheat, especially built wheat procurement system, it's much more effective and transparent. I mean, each farmer is told when they should be brought, they should be bringing their produce in the market. So it's not all the farmers will come in the same day. So the mandi, each mandi has a capacity, if dealing with 300 farmers a day, then first 300 and then next 300. And so it's a very organized system, very impressive to see that. And payments are given. Thing was that they were giving a bonus on top of the central MSP. So that led to a massive increase in wheat production. People got incentivized, and he procured that. And from nowhere, It emerged like another Punjab of the country. And the beauty was that in Punjab, over years of Green Revolution, the water table had gone down in the last 20 years or so. In Punjab, on an average, water table went down by 9 meters. Whereas in Madhya Pradesh, during the same period, it has gone down only by 0.6 meters. So it's much more sustainable system because they did not go in a big way for paddy. Paddy consumes 5 times the more water than wheat. So they went in for wheat, and that gave a huge resilience to the food system in the country. So today they are neck to neck. In one of the years, they actually exceeded the procurement more than even Punjab. But that has given a big cushion to the central reserves of. And over this period, 2005-06, when Shivraj Singh Chauhan came in, and to 2022-23, we have analyzed, agriculture GDP of the state increased on an average by 7% per annum. Of course, it fluctuates up and down, but on an average. And the overall GDP increased by 7.3%. So there is no other state literally where the agriculture and overall GDP have been increasing at such a high rate. And that I called it as inclusive growth model, because 60% of the workforce of the state is engaged in agriculture. And if that is growing at 7% per annum for almost 18 years or so, there is something, a story and a lesson to learn.
Clearly, political leadership was a very important factor in managing the structural makeover of the agrarian economy in Madhya Pradesh. Remember, agriculture is a very electorally sensitive subject.
Without a vision, without a leadership commitment, things don't happen. You know, Green Revolution in Punjab, if you remember the commitment of Pratap Singh Kharo at that time and all the changes that were made, you don't develop a new system from nowhere, you know. So government has to initiate certain things. So, you know, my whole thing was that Madhya Pradesh story is not very well known. We still talk about Punjab and Haryana belt as the heroes of Green Revolution. But today they have become, unfortunately, you know, environmental disaster because of the rice cultivation. And the leadership is not able to get out of that.
Now that Chauhan has stepped down, do you fear that this momentum will be lost? Or is it that systems are already in place that now onwards it will be like the Green Revolution? Afterwards, the system took over.
You know, if the system has been settled, and this has been settled over 15, 20 years, it's not easy to dismantle that because the farmers will be up in arms.
Unlike in the case of Punjab and Haryana, this big spurt in agriculture output and area under cultivation has not led to the reduction in the water table. Even better, the state has diversified into horticulture and into the production of medicinal plants. So I was curious as to whether Madhya Pradesh could now serve as the laboratory for the country's efforts in sustainable agriculture, keeping in mind its net zero ambitions.
I would say yes, because when you compare it with Punjab, Punjab is stuck in the mud in terms of wheat-rice rotation. And it's very difficult to get out of that, although I still feel if there is a good, strong leadership and communicates with the farmers for change in practice and you can give a good, you know, incentive for that, farmers can switch. But you have to have communication and trust. You know, farmers, as usual, don't trust the governments too much. So, but yes, Madhya Pradesh has done much better compared to on that. The saving device was they were not heavily dependent on rice. And that I am worried about Chhattisgarh, because Chhattisgarh is getting into rice, and rice, from the environment point of view, is not a very good crop. You know, when you have the standing water there, there is a methane. continuously that you are emitting in the atmosphere. And over on top of that, when you throw granular urea, it leads to nitrous oxide. And then if you are using machinery, then that uses also carbon dioxide. And then on top of that, if you are doing stubble burning, God bless. So you are having, you know, an environmental disaster. And Madhya Pradesh, to a large extent, has avoided those problems. And they are diversifying. They have invited the private sector. In fact, the latest visit that I had in Madhya Pradesh, looking at their agriculture. And it was amazing to see how ITC, you know, they allow direct buying from the farmers. And ITC is one of the bigger players. In fact, all multinational companies are there to buy directly from the farmers, ADM. ITC has a very organized structure to buy soybean and wheat from the farmers through their chopal sagars and whatnot. But they entered into medicinal plants. So 100 acres, they experimented for 4 or 5 years on medicinal plants, high-value medicinal plants, ashwagandha to, you know, green tea and grass and other things. And then they started tying up, and it was a barren land. And that barren land is turned into a remarkable laboratory. That was your question. And so it is inviting the private sector, giving them a land to develop in a way. And then they have developed that. And now they are doing it with the farmers. Already when I visited, more than 5,000 farmers were working with them on shifting from basic staples to high-value Ayurvedic, you know, medicinal plants. Because this all global market is captured by China. And I think India has a huge potential.
The most obvious question then is whether the Madhya Pradesh model can be adopted by other states. After all, in the Indian constitution, agriculture is a state subject.
The agriculture story, in fact, is a very fascinating story, not just Madhya Pradesh. I studied all the states we study. And during the period of Mr. Narendra Modi as the Chief Minister of Gujarat, if you look at 2002 to 2013-14, the rate of growth in agriculture was 9% per annum. It was higher than, you know, even Punjab during Green Revolution days. So it brings the Chief Minister back into power, right? So there is a huge political dividend. And my feeling is this lesson from the Gujarat also has already come up towards Madhya Pradesh. And naturally, many other states are also watching it. And if they can follow that path, it will give them, you know, greater prosperity because the largest chunk of working population is still engaged in agriculture. So that is the equity question, right? And then you have abundant production so that you don't have knee-jerk reaction. Sometimes you ban onion export and sometimes you ban tomato export. I mean, we are following a policy mix of 1960s. If you are short import, you have so much of foreign exchange, $600 billion. What for is that? So if, you know, tour price inflation is 42%, why don't you import a million tons on an urgent basis? You know, rather than suppressing everything for the farmer. I think that change in the policy mix, there is a lot for the center to learn out of this and for many of the neighboring states that if they give, they need to have patience because the results don't come within a year or two. The problem is our many of the political masters are so short-term, short vision that they want to give something today and get the votes tomorrow. So this is a quid pro quo. But when you do investments and build systems, it takes time. And my feeling is, you know, if you do the Revati 20-25% of the game, but investment of the 75% of the game, then you will get better results. But if Revati becomes 75% and investment is 25%, then that's not a good sign for a democratic country like India to prosper on agriculture.
I don't know about you. Frankly, I was blown away by the ongoing agriculture revolution in Madhya Pradesh. It clearly did not happen in a vacuum. The state government invested time, money, and its social capital in ensuring basics. It even enlisted the private sector as a key stakeholder. Most importantly, it has carried farmers in the cause. In fact, the farmers embraced change willingly. Even better, as Dr. Gulati points out, this returned political dividends for the BJP. In this instance, good economics has made for good politics. Thank you for listening. I'll be back next week with another episode. Till then, stay safe.